We began a series a few weeks ago about giving thanks and how that we should have the right attitude about the things of this world, because it's all just dirt. Thank you. It's been 2 weeks. I was wondering if anybody still remembered. So everything was still just dirt. And since we have that attitude, we understand that things of the earth are not our possessions, that they're temporary, including ourselves. That we then explored about the way that, why we give thanks, the reason that we give thanks, and how we give thanks because we are free. We were in bondage to sin and death, and we have been set free because of forgiveness. And that one of our acts of thanksgiving should be that we share our forgiveness with others. Today, I want to talk about how we give in other areas too. Because we as a body of Christ have been blessed. And we have been blessed in so many different ways. Part of those things is that we have been blessed with some dirt. And God wants us to share that dirt with others. And so today, I'm going to share and talk about tithes and offerings and how we share our resources, and the way that we give expresses our heart and how that we give thanks. If you have your Bible and like to turn to Malachi 3:10 or your YouVersion. Now, this is for those of us who are familiar with passages in the Bible, and those of us who historically have attended church are probably familiar with this passage. Malachi 3:10 says this: "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse." This is God speaking. "That there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will have room enough for it." You will not have room enough for it. Very famous verse. Completely misquoted. And completely misunderstood. Let me tell you one thing that this is not. This is not your ATM PIN number to God. Too many people have taken this verse and they have applied it that way. They think that God is an ATM. I give him my 10 and he'll give me back 100. I'll give him my 100 and I get back 1,000. That's a pretty good gig. It's completely unbiblical. So I want to start today by telling you that we should give more than a tithe. Because the tithe was an Old Testament direction, law, obligation. Let me give you a little background and understanding of why God is saying this. You see, back when God established the nation of Israel, and in Leviticus 27, when he is setting down the law and setting down the regulations of how that his kingdom should be ran, he established different tribes. And one of those tribes were the Levites. They were to be the priest. And the priests were to be busy about doing God's work, studying his scriptures, sharing his scriptures, doing the sacrifices for sin. So they were not able to go and provide for themselves by raising crops and livestock and doing business. And so God set up an economy where the other tribes would give a tenth to support his Levites. Now, it's interesting because in Leviticus chapter 27, he says a lot about giving. And it's constantly saying giving to me. Because the Levites were supposed to be about the business of God. You see, the Levites were the specific teachers of the law. And that was the words of God that they wanted the Jews to live by. Because why? Because God had established the Jewish nation to be an example for the whole world. And I say that because you have to understand the context as we move forward to the New Testament in just a moment. Because, see, the Old Testament, the Jewish nation was established so that other nations would know about God. It wasn't just because he loved the Jews and that he wanted to have a special relationship with them. That was true. But he had a special relationship with him and shared his word with them so that they, in turn, would share it with others. That was the initial concept. The Jews didn't always follow that. As a matter of fact, they became extremely xenophobic and would not allow others to come in and worship. And God continually had to challenge them and punish them. And a matter of fact, when Malachi is written, they had just gone through one of those times. Most of the Israelites are still in captivity in other countries. The Babylonians had come in and taken them away. And the Babylonians were ruthless. And they would rip people from their home country and just disperse them throughout their empire so that they could never be a threat. But the Babylonians were overthrown by the Persians, and the Persians were a little bit more understanding. And so the Persians had allowed the Jews, a handful of them, to move back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. In the Old Testament, we find that in the book of Ezra. And we had established a new temple and a new priesthood. But what had happened was that those Jews had been in slavery and been set free and had gone back to this land that had been pretty much raped and pillaged and left for desolation. They were scraping by and they came up with excuses. See if these sound familiar. It's rough right now. The economy is kind of down. Just not getting the best out of my workers right now. There's these other taxes that are coming in, and the government is implementing new policies that's taking more money out of my pocket. So, God, here's what I'm going to do. I've got 10 sheep. One of them's a little sickly. You can have that one. I've got about 10 bushels of corn. One's got worms in it. You can have that one. And so God said, no. I don't want your leftovers. Because your leftovers shows your heart. And your heart tells me that I'm not your God. He even goes on to say in other parts of Malachi, he says, if you were to do this for the king of Persia, he would have you killed. You wouldn't send that over to him. If you had a guest come in your house, would you serve him this? Then why me, your God, your creator, the sustainer of your nation, of you, of your life, why would you do that to me? And so he challenges them through Malachi. He says, test me in this. You see, but Jason, that was the Old Testament. It's true. So how did it work in the New Testament? Well, first of all, you have to understand that God doesn't need us. God doesn't need our dirt. He made the dirt. He says it in Psalm 50, verses 9 through 12. He says, I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and insects of the field are mine. If I were hungry, which he doesn't get hungry, but if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and all that's in it. So why then is he so upset that they're giving him sickly ones? Why is he so upset that he's not doing the right thing, that they're not giving their tithe, that they're not giving to the Levites, that they're not giving offerings? In Acts chapter 2, you have to understand in the New Testament, God revealed some of this. He said, look, when love abounds, when there's a community and I'm present, it says that they sold everything and shared with one another. If there was anyone with need, they met it, knowing that one day if they were in need, they would help them. Why? Because God was in their presence. And as people lived in the presence of God and in His love, generosity flowed. He didn't tell them to do that. It's not recorded, at least. There's no sermon in Acts chapter 2 that says, now you should sell everything and give. They just did it spontaneously. But as the persecution drove them away out of Jerusalem and into the farthest reaches of the world, the gospel went with them. And guys like Paul and Barnabas and Timothy were commissioned and sent out. And throughout Paul's writing, he is constantly thanking people who have supported him. And he specifically says many times, for the financial support, for blankets, for comfort, for food, for a visit. Paul understood that all of this in the Old Testament and the New Testament was written because giving is a part of our heart. It's the attitude of our heart. It reflects what our heart is all about. A couple of things about the Old Testament law you have to understand. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. That includes the Levitical law that says tithes and offerings should come into the kingdom. Now, Paul says it like this. He says the Old Testament, all scripture was God-breathed for teaching, for admonishment, to build people up for righteousness' sake. And part of that teaching was about giving. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians. He says, each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart. Not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Not reluctantly under compulsion. Those who are pulpit beaters and will tell people that they have to give or they don't get to go to heaven and God won't love them, do not understand the writings of Scripture. I am sad to say that in understanding tithes and offerings, that there is a particular pastor, and I listened to his sermon, and I verified it on the internet to make sure surely this is not true, but he preached a sermon. If I told you his name, he is known on TV. He has many, many books sold. And in his sermon, he said, if people did not tithe, if it was up to him, they'd be drug out behind their church and shot. Now, he also has two multi-million dollar buildings, has his own private jet, sold a book called God Wants to Bless You that had an open window in the clouds with money flowing out. Paul says you should not give under compulsion, but as a cheerful giver. The first converts of Christianity did not give because they were browbeat. They gave because they loved Christ and one another. And out of their heart gave. Jesus says this in Matthew, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who knows all things, and what is done in secret, will reward you. I love people who give anonymously and do so because they are worshiping God not for themselves. That's why I love that video when it talks about giving and it's not just money. The couple who sat in silence when others don't realize the pain and agony that goes through getting somebody ready just to get to church. The secrets that go on in people's lives that they don't have fathers that care about them and someone else steps up and is a father and will teach them to throw a baseball. It's not on the 9 o'clock news, but God sees it. It's not all about money. So when I tell you that you should give more than a tithe, it's not about how you should give more than 10% of your income. You should give 100% of who you are. If you truly want to live biblically, 100% belongs to God. So how you spend your money, what movie you see, what music you buy, what car you buy, where you vacation, how you do your life, all reflects your relationship with Jesus Christ. See, that is the beauty of taking the everyday and making it divine. Did you know you could worship God shopping? Is that awesome? Living within a budget, not overspending, burden yourself down with excessive debt. That's a way of worshiping. So that when God does tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, notice that family over there that can't afford the groceries? Go ahead and pay for them. But if you can't do that because you're like, I can't pay for my own, then there's a problem. 100% of your life belongs to God. 100% of your income belongs to God. Now, you may give 10% to this organization, or you may give it to some other organization that wants to do charitable work, and that's honorable and great. But what you do with the other 90 and 80% reflects who you are in Christ. You don't believe me? Jesus said it himself. He says it to the Pharisees. He said, you tithe on the mint and your herbs. I mean, you're technically correct on your tithe, but you missed out on love and grace and forgiveness. And he teaches his disciples. He sits in the sanctuary and he watches people give. And as the Pharisees and others came in with big money bags, and it sounded like this, when they were walking, right? And as they ka-ching, 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 put it in the offering plate, there was a little lady who walked by, unnoticed by others, and put two little coins that they call the widow's mite, less than a penny. And he said to his disciples, he said, she gave more. Because she gave from her heart while the others give out of their abundance. 100% of her life belonged to the Lord. It's not just about the money we bring. Hebrews 13 says this, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased. In Colossians chapter 3, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In all things, giving thanks. Whatever deed is done. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, says, if you even give a glass of water in my name, it will be remembered and rewarded. There are times when you cannot give enough money to compensate for your bad heart. But you could do something so simple as picking somebody up and bringing them to church on Sunday and rack up big reward with God. Because he loves a cheerful giver and one who gives in all that they do. Romans chapter 12 says this, if it is in serving, then serve. If it is in teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then encourage. If it's giving, then be give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now here's the thing about God, that he does not give any one person everything. He gives some to be preachers, some to be teachers, some to be leaders, some to worship by taking care of children, by cooking, by cleaning, by building, Some by giving, financially. But not everyone's the same. And we should not be envious of others who give in different ways. But what we should do is pray to God and say, okay, where should I give? What have you given me? And how can I use that for your kingdom? There are some people who are just hospitable. They come in a room and everybody feels welcome and loved. Then you should be on hospitality. If you think that you have the gift of leadership, then get out of the pew and start leading. If you have the gift of love, then start loving on people. I've watched my mom over the years do nothing as simple as just hug on people. And they just get all giddy and float away. I have watched my mom in the store cry and pray and hug on somebody and they walk away and I say, who is that? I don't know. That's not me. We all should do, whether it is serving or teaching, encouragement or giving, we do it all to the best of our abilities. So if you can give your time, then start giving your time. If you can give your resources and your talents, then start giving them back to the one who gave them to you to begin with. Because there's a reason that we should give. And that is because God gives. See, God starts it all. We love because God loves. We forgive because He forgave. We give because He gives. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this, speaking to the Corinthians, he says, but since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. See, the Corinthians were very wealthy. They had a lot of dirt. They had a lot of resources. And so he is challenging them. Paul writes this, I am not commanding you, but I want you to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty may become rich. He reminds them to start with the relationship they have with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ held nothing back. Everything he walked away from for the sake of loving you and giving you the chance to live and give to others. It starts all the way at the very beginning in Genesis. God gave us food to eat. God gave us eyes to see and ears to hear. And praise God, as a man, he gave me a woman to love. And that relationship and the specialness and children. And we had all of that because God gave it to us. You ever thought about that? He could have made food taste like cardboard, but it doesn't. Amen. Those of us like to eat, amen. Somebody said, why are you not a vegetarian? Because he made cows taste so good. Now, why he couldn't make broccoli taste like ice cream, I don't know. All the good stuff's bad for you, but that's another conversation. So we had all of that because God gave us that. And he gave us love and compassion. And continued to give us that, even though when we were disobedient. And when his nation was disobedient, he gave them another chance. Because he knew that one day his son would be born out of that group of people. And out of that, he would give everybody the opportunity for forgiveness. Jesus says so in one of the most famous verses, John 3:16. That probably demonstrates the giving of God more than anything. For God so loved the world that whosoever loves him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because why? He gave his one and only Son. He gave, and he gave, and he continues to give. So why do we give? Why do we collect tithes and offerings? It's not because God needs your money. It's all his anyways. What he's saying is, test me. See if you don't show me love and show me respect and show how you follow me by obeying the fact that you give and love and support others. See if I won't love you and support you. He is not a cosmic ATM. He is our loving Father. He gives us what we need, not always what we want. But he gave us what we needed in the fact of his Son coming to the cross. It's not about a wallet or a purse. It's about a person. And it's about your heart. If you have never received Jesus Christ, if you have never entered into that relationship, there's an opportunity right now to do that. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads. If you have never understood the fact that Jesus Christ stepped down from heaven and put on poverty, put on this flesh and blood, and gave up his richness so that you may be blessed, what a day to accept that by saying something like this: Heavenly Father, I confess that I've done wrong. I accept your Son's sacrifice. Thank you for turning away from your riches so that I may have life and have it abundantly. It is only through your Son I get to go to heaven, and I accept that invitation. In your name I pray. Amen.